You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Will we give God a big shout of praise, honor him for what he's doing? God is an awesome God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. And you know, the reason I got them to play that is I just want to give you a context to what God can do. You know, God can take our ordinary and make it extraordinary. He can take our natural and make it supernatural. And you know, God's no respecter of people. He's just looking for hunger. Hunger attracts heaven. I heard I'm in the most hungriest place in all of Manchester and all of Geneva and all of Manchester North and South and Chester and 65 agree with that. I heard this was the most hungriest place. Ow. Amazing. Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you. You're here. And I thank you every sickness is bound in the name of Jesus. I thank you every depression must leave in the name of Jesus. Every fear must go in the name of Jesus. Every lack must go in the name of Jesus. And we declare, your ways are higher, your ways are bigger, bigger, stronger, more powerful. I thank you for family restoration in the name of Jesus. And we receive it by faith. Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. He's here. He's here right here, right now. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. If you're hungry, you'll get something. If you're thirsty, you'll get something. If you say, God, I just want you more than everything, something will happen. It's not about the preacher. It's about the posture. And the Bible says, and you know, Pastor Glenn and I talk about this, you know, because you know, speakers go on about, you know, the pastors, and Pastor Glenn's always going, don't say much, don't say much. You know, but we do need to say how much we love you. And you and Sophie, and you are such a blessing to the body of Christ. And we don't take you for granted. We don't take what you carry, what you, all the price you pay and are paying. And we thank you for building such an amazing, for God using you to build an amazing church and what you're doing in Great Britain, AG, and around the world. And we honor Pastor Glenn today. Amazing. Amazing. Would you turn to every Manchester United supporter and say, be free? No, I'm just kidding. Give someone a hug around you. Love on them. Tell they're amazing. I'll get rid of this. Some people say to me, why do you wear a hat? Because I'm bald, that's why. You know, there's some people who got hair. God bless you. You're the anointed group. No, actually, the bald people are the anointed people because we're getting raptured to heaven quicker than all of you. I bring greetings from my family and, you know, Pastor Noel Walker is one of his favorite places on planet Earth. He loves you, Pastor Joel, very much, and thank you for what you've enabled in him. And, you know, one of his favorite people on the planet, he loves Pastor Glenn. Pastor Glenn has a way to persuade people to barrack for Manchester City. He's good at a few things, preaching the gospel and preaching the gospel of Manchester City. And so my son and son-in-law are City fans. And but the other day I was with Noah, and he goes, Reedy, I love Reedy. He's such a great man. And you are a great man, and thank you for being such a blessing to this house. Because when you bless him, you bless me. And we love you, and we thank God for you. Thank you. And Zoe as well. Both of you, amazing. Did you bring your thing? Okay, cool. Fantastic. I want to encourage you today that who wants to go to another level? I can hear them shouting at Chester. Yeah. In Geneva. I can hear them. It's in French, I think. Oh, it's in English. 240 languages, that's pretty cool. And if you start speaking in tongues now, that could add more languages. But I want to go to another level. That video, God has done great things, but I'm not satisfied. I want more. Who wants more? Who wants to do more for God? Who wants to see more for God? Who wants to release more for God? This is just the start. I was telling the first service, I was here, you know, in Mary Street when the church started in Mary Street. Is that called Mary Street? Yeah. You know, you want to be part of the whole journey, not just part of the journey. I'm now a grandfather. When I started our church God started our church 22 years ago, my kids were young. Now they're 29 and 27, and I have three grandchildren. And we used to, you know, set up and pack down every week in venues, and we did the best at what we could with kids' facilities and stuff like that. And now they've got bouncy castles, squillions of them. They've got, it is amazing, the kids' facility. And I'm thinking, they hang around long enough for their children to be blessed. And my encouragement to all of you is hang around long enough to reap the rewards of what you have sown in. Amen? Amen. So Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Sorry, I in my church we cheer when the word of God's announced. Because, you know, we cheer about sporting, people kicking goals, but that's not going to help my life. The Word of God will help my life. So we'll go to Melbourne for a moment. By the way, in our church in Melbourne, we have 160 nations, so we're like you. We have all the colours of heaven. Because heaven is the celebration of everything. And, you know, I have a very multicultural family. In fact, my daughter-in-law is Chinese-Malaysian. So they have a child now, and she tells me the child is Wasian. And I said, "What? Why is it Wasian?" She said, "Why Asian?" And I said, "Okay, right, cool." My son-in-law, who you've met, Noah, he's Maori. He's Pacific Islander. And my two grandkids, Malachi, my oldest grandson, he's like Brutus Beefcake. He's like, he's a warrior. And you know, we just celebrate the colors of the world. But the truth is, the rainbow has colors all through it, but without light, it doesn't shine the colors. And it's the light of Jesus that brings us together to celebrate who we are. And so let's go to the Word of God. Proverbs 11:24. Oh, wow. That's a Manchester City crowd. I can feel that. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Now, many people stop at that in a mindset, well, that means money. No, I think I'm wealthy. I have great three grandchildren. I see them run around not the youngest because he can't run around yet, but I see them my middle grandson, his name's River, and his middle name is Ray, which is named after me, Russell Andrew Evans, so Ray. So he's my favourite grandson. And when I come in the room, he's almost one. No, he turned one. They had his 1-year-old birthday yesterday. And he does this to me. And what that means is, come and pick me up. And so I love it. To me, that's wealthy. You can have the biggest castle in the whole world, You can have, but you don't have that. I think wealthy is being in a church that you can experience God's presence. I think wealthy is having the ability to forgive people when they hurt you. Devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to give life, life more abundantly. See, this is one of the most upside down, countercultural truths in the kingdom of God. In God's economy, generosity doesn't make you smaller, it makes you larger. Generosity isn't about losing something, it's actually about accessing another level. Every time God wants to enlarge a person, a family, a church, or a movement, He tests their capacity to release. We don't grow by holding tighter, we grow by opening wider. That's how we grow, we open wider. So, I'm going to give you 5 points, I think. Generosity shifts your dimensions. The Bible says in the Message Bible, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Notice the wording, it doesn't say the bank account. It says the world. See, what generosity does, it enlarges your thinking, it enlarges your faith, it increases your influence, it broadens your impact, and it opens new opportunity. Why wouldn't anybody want to live a generous life? See, small hands live in small worlds. Open hands live in expanding worlds. So you can't step into a larger future with a closed spirit. And this is what the devil does. He attacks us and he tries to close our spirit down. He tries to close our ability to believe down. And there are things that happen in your life and you either close down or open up. I've been hurt. So I close down. No, no, no. I've been hurt, so I open my life to forgiveness. I open my life to a place that when whatever anybody does to me, it's not going to affect me because I'm going to live with a big spirit. We got a world that loves getting on social media and telling all the problems and all the hurts they carry. And every time that happens, we get smaller and smaller. But when you get into a place where you can have a large spirit, one of my friends, and I'm not close friends, but I know him fairly okay, stayed in his house. His name's Dave Reaver, and Dave Reaver was in the Vietnam War, and he was about to throw a grenade and he got shot and it blew the grenade up in his face and it was a phosphorus grenade. And basically his skin melted and his body melted and they didn't think he was going to make it. And he gets to a hospital in Japan and they get him on morphine and then he asked for a mirror, and they gave him a mirror, which is just crazy to me because he's just been blown up and you had surgery and stuff. And then they gave him a mirror, and he's on morphine, and he sees a face that is unrecognizable. He's looked in the mirror his whole life. He just got married before he went, and he sees, and then he has this little face speak to him, and it says, "You look like a freak. Take your life." So as he's lying in his bed, he pulls the tubes to die. But he only gets hungry because he pulled the wrong tube. Then he goes back to America. He's in a burns unit hospital and the person next to him has 90% burns. And as he's lying there, the wife of the person next to him comes in and she reads his chart and goes, "Oh, I can't live with you." She couldn't recognize it. And she said, "I'm sorry, babe, but I just can't live with you." And she left. A few hours later, that guy gave up life and he died. So my friend Dave is lying there and he's like, "Oh no, what's my wife going to think? We just got married." And his wife comes in, picks up the chart to look if it's her husband, and she bends down and kissed the most burnt part of his body, his face. And he looks at her and he says, I'm so sorry, babe. I can't look good for you anymore." And she goes, "Well, I didn't marry you for your looks anyway." But Dave Reaver decided that he was going to live a big life, not a small life. And he decided that he was going to speak on scars and he was going to forgive and he was going to live a life of forgiveness and freedom. So he would go into high schools and he would tell people, "I've got scars on the outside, you got scars on the inside. We're even, but love overcomes scars." And I would see students weep. And then there was a young guy, he thought, "I'm going to take this guy under my wing." And so he took him under his wing and taught him how to do high schools and youth ministry. And his name is Reggie Dapps, who's impacted you and impacted me and impacted this nation. But if Dave Reaver had got a small life, but he used what the enemy used to try to take him out as a weapon to take the enemy out, the world of the generous grows larger and larger. See, don't close your spirit. Open your spirit. "Well, I got hurt." Well, welcome to the world. The very first thing that happens to you when you come into this world, yes, you experience love, but you also experience pain. You come out of your mother's stomach and they slap you. You've never been slapped in your life. You're in a cocoon. You're getting fed. Everything's good. And then, well, you're a gummer. Slap. Ah! Pain is a part of life. I don't like it, but it is a part of life. But my Bible says all things work together for good for those who are called according to his, who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So that means what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. I don't understand what I'm going through at a time, but I'm going to have a big spirit. I'm not going to close down. Because what you release determines what you reach. Dave Reaver released love and he reached the world. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you." And then it says this statement, "For the measure," everyone say measure. That's really good. I could feel that then. Say measure. Well, that's good. If I had a hairpiece, it would have jumped up at a... But I'm not, I'm good looking bald anyway, so. Well, I'm still married, so anyway, praise the Lord. "For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Jesus didn't say pray and it will be measured back. He didn't say believe and it will be measured back. He said give. Because giving is a measuring tool. Heaven measures capacity, not intention. Many people want bigger blessing, bigger anointing, bigger breakthrough, but they're using a small measure. And God doesn't override your measure, he responds to it. The Bible puts it this way: "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly." Sparing is a measure. "He who sows generously will reap generously." It's a measure. So if I forgive generously, I'll be forgiven generously. If I encourage generously, I'll be encouraged. I don't give to get, but I give because I want to increase my measure. See, God responds. You know, Jesus looked at measures. You all through the Bible, 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're counting how many fish. And then they see what God does when he gives, because the kid gave his full measure, and because he gave his full measure, the full crowd was fed with overflow for the family. The woman with the two mites, it is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because I get so inspired by this lady. This lady wasn't the richest person. She wasn't the most affluent person. She was a person who gave a big measure. Rich people come in and they gave what they could afford and, you know, yeah, that's cool. But this lady gave the two mites that she had. And Jesus is so impressed by this as he mentions it, and he's mentioned in Scripture. And guess what? The Bible says that the Word of God is like seed. So every time the Word is preached, seed is released. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So since this story was placed in the canon of Scripture, there's been pastors, leaders, Christians all over the world, charities that have got up and they've talked and spoken about the testimony of a woman with two mites. Do you know how many people would have been saved because of the giving from this lady? Billions of people. And you know, she might not have seen her full measure on earth, but she's got a full measure in heaven. I don't know what happens after the two mites. I do know that God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I do know, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So probably if there was a follow-up story, you would see the blessing of God upon it. But I can't tell you that's exactly what happened because it doesn't say. But I can tell you that in heaven, every crusade, gospel meeting across the world, that a pastor has got up and talked about the woman with two mites. Every time a church is being built and a pastor and a team will get up and talk about, you know, you come and you just give what you can, you know, it's equal sacrifice. It's not equal amount, it's equal sacrifice. And it uses the story of the lady with the two mites. Buildings have been built all around the world for families to be touched, restored, healed. The miracles out of this two mites is just mind-blowing. The result of what come out of this lady's life is mind-blowing. And sometimes you look at yourself and you go, all I've got is two mites. Well, it's the only measure I've got. And God says, great, what I can do with that measure. Yeah. A father once took his son hiking in the mountains. It's something that I wouldn't do, but. And the boy slipped. He was in there was a valley around in the mountains, and he slipped and he shouted, ah! To his surprise, a voice came back, ah! Angry, the boy yelled, who are you? And the voice came back, who are you? Frustrated, he shouted, you're a coward. The voice answered, you're a coward. The boy looked at the father confused and the father smiled. He says, watch this. He shouted into the valley, you're amazing. The voice returned, you're amazing. He shouted, I love you. And the voice came back, I love you. The father explained, son, this is what is called an echo, but in life, it's called the law of measure you give. What you release comes back to you. What you sow returns. What measure you measure out is measured back. That's the principle Jesus was teaching. Who wants to see your measure increased? See, the thing about generosity, it's a proof of trust. Generosity is never about money alone. It's actually about life. It's about who you trust in as your source. See, stinginess says, I am my provider. Generosity says, God is my provider. We use this phrase, give to God, but I actually believe you give from trusting God. That's why generosity unlocks grace, because 2 Corinthians says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows generously will reap generously, and the measure you get, and then it says, that grace may abound. It says this, that grace is able to, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. See, grace, generosity unlocks grace. For God so loved the world that he gave, unlocked unmerited favor. God is able to make all grace abound. So grace flows best through people who don't clutch or hold on. God uses generosity to move you to and me to the next level, because every level in God requires a release. So you want a new level of faith? You got to release comfort. Peter, Jesus, is that you? Bid me to come. Yes, it's me. He had to release comfort of the boat and get out on the water. Every time God calls you to do something, you got to release what you're used to step into what you're not familiar with. If you want a new level of authority, you got to release control. Because the more you and I control, the more that God doesn't do. But the more we release and put it into God's hand, the more he does. Let me talk about marriages for a second. Woo! My wife and I, when we did marriage counseling at the beginning, when I used to do it when we're smaller, but you know, and in marriage counseling, preparing people for marriage and all that, you know, we'd talk about issues and stuff, and then on the last counseling session, just before they're married, we'd do the sex talk, and I'd get her to do it, and I'd sit there with a little pillow, feeling embarrassed anyway, I don't know why I said that story, but anyway, she would say this, she would say to the wife, future wife, she said, you know what I do when my husband's not listening to me? And she goes, no. She goes, I don't nag him, I don't complain against him, I appeal to the higher authority. Because her nagging is trying to control me. Her having a go at me would be trying to control me. So she says, God, I'm not going to live in control. I'm going to appeal to you. You're my higher authority. You deal with him. And guess what? God has a way to deal with him better than any wife, better than any son, better than any kid could ever do. So if you're having a struggle in an area in your marriage, appeal to the higher authority. Take your hands off control. Ooh, I can feel that. Someone's elbowing us. There, see? Every level in God, new level of fruitfulness, you need to release seed. New level of influence, you need to release resources. If nothing is leaving your hand, nothing is changing your level. You don't give to stay where you are. Watch this. You give to go where you've never been. You don't give to stay where you are. You give to go where you've never been. I just showed you a video of what God's done in the last 30 years. 1996, musicians, you can come, make me sound more anointed. 1996, I was in a meeting, minding my own business, really. I just wanted God, and hunger attracts heaven. And we're going to do this song, Lord, I give you my heart. We're going to do that one. I give you my soul, because I need to go back to my childhood. Anyway, it's a good song, I like it. I was there in 1996. They're probably singing that song in 1996, actually. And the preacher comes up, he's South African, and he goes, "I brand you with fire. Fire." And as I'm there, the fire of God it's like full on fire. It's like, it's not like a little, "Ooh, that's a nice fire." And like match, fire. No, this is like, I'm on fire, fire. Who's ever been in that moment when you're on fire, fire? It's like, and I had to go, after 30 minutes, I go, "God, this is too full on. I can't handle it anymore." When in heaven, I'll be able to handle it all the time. But there's, my body was like, "Wow, this is full on." And God spoke to me two things. He says, "Start a conference called Planet Shakers." And I'm like, "God, what's that?" He said, "You'll see." And he said, then get your young people to take a first fruits offering. In other words, I'm going to get you to sow into places you've never gone. And so I said, "Well, what's a first fruits offering?" He said, "Get them to give a week's wage." This is teenagers and young adults, right? And I'm like, "These are young people, God. They don't have any money, number one. And number two, I'm their youth pastor. I want them to like me, so I'm not going to ask them." He said, "Don't ask them, invite them." So I said, "Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start a conference." And God spoke to me. "We're going to take a first fruits offering up for it, and we're going to split it three ways. We're going to sow it, so it's for the future, into starting the conference. We're going to sow it into local evangelism, and we're going to sow it into overseas missions." So we sowed it to start the conference. We sowed it to local evangelism called Youth Alive. And then I had a friend of mine, I had never been to this place. I had a friend of mine he was going to plant 1,000 churches in the Philippines. So I sowed it into his ministry to reach Filipinos. Right. Your seed, what you give to, is taking you to places where you've never been. So we played you that video. I didn't know that youth conference would grow to 25,000 people in Australia in four different cities in a very short time. By the way, I just heard this before. There's a pastor from Austria here, just over here. And in our Brisbane conference, we had Reinhard Bonnke speaking, and he came from Austria at 19 and came to Brisbane, Australia. That seed was sowing into a future, and he got touched by the fire of God, and now he's a pastor in Austria and worship movement, and God's using him powerfully. It really blessed me in the last meeting when he told me that. But the truth is, I'd never met him till today. But I was sowing into a future that I'd never been. I showed you that figure that in 22 years, our church has people walk the aisle with over 140,000 people say yes to Jesus. We sowed it into local evangelism. Guess what happened? By the way, that figure doesn't include any of the big events we do around the world or outreaches. That's just in Australia. That seed set up a future. No, I didn't know, but now the biggest country that's supporters of Planet Shake is the Philippines. I hadn't even been to the Philippines, but my seed set up a future. My generosity. We took $65,000 back then from 700 young people. That's pretty crazy. Now, God speaks to me a lot. You need to sow seed here. This church, when you first started, Pastor Glenn said that we sowed a seed because the world of the generous grows larger and larger. And guess what? Every time someone gets saved here, every time a family member gets blessed here, every time someone gets healed here, my world is a part of it. Why? Because the world of the generous grows larger and larger. Proverbs 11 says the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, what generosity does is it creates spiritual momentum. It attracts favor. It accelerates growth. It multiplies impact. And it keeps you soft and in faith. Stinginess, unforgiveness, small thinking, tight-fisted living stalls momentum. That's why the devil tries to hurt us and do stuff to us, because he wants to stall momentum in your life. He wants to stall that abundant life that Jesus has died for. He wants to stall that freedom. That's why when you don't forgive people, it stalls your ability to go to another level. Here's the deal. In life, you get haters, and God tells you you got to love everybody. So I've chosen, and I'm on this journey, I'm going to love everybody. It doesn't mean I have to like everybody and like everything they do, but I have to love them. Because I'm not going to live a life that gets like this and, you know, I've been hurt and held back and you know, so I love God, but I can't forgive somebody. No, that's where the devil's got you right there. This isn't a sermon about pressure. This is a sermon about permission. Permission to think bigger. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit here. Trust deeper. Live looser. And I'm talking about live sinful. I'm talking about living free. Give freer. Because the way of a generous doesn't just give more, it lives larger. So today, would you join me in saying, hey, I don't live small. I don't think small. I don't give small. I walk the way of the generous. And my world is getting larger and larger.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.